Did you hear the joyfulness in that passage from Isaiah? There was joy even in the returning people, the folks that were coming back from exile in Babylon. Today I'm going to ask you to stay seated instead of standing for the gospel, because I'm actually going to preach on the gospel as I read sections of it. But our gospel today comes from the Gospel of John. So John is a gospel that is full of symbolism. John names Jesus as the Son of God, the bread of light, and the light of the world. This gospel was probably written down maybe in the 90s, and I don't mean the 1990s or even the 1890s. I mean the 90s, back in the first century. Or it could have been written as late as the first or second decade of the second century. And the tradition, since about the second century, identifies the author of John, the first person that actually spoke or shared these words in an oral transition, in a spoken way, was John, the son of Zebedee and one of Jesus' disciples. But actually, in this gospel, the author is never really named. However, something that is named in John's gospel is the very clear purpose of this gospel, and it is stated in John chapter 20, verse 31. These things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name. The entire gospel of John is a book of witness, a book of testimony. Now, there's something about that word, those two words, testimony and witness, that is interesting. Testimony, or the verb sort of word that is about being testifying, is martyrese, and I can't pronounce the Greek right now, but it's martyrese. It begins with the Greek letters that we would put in English as M-A-R-T-Y-R, or martyr. It's the same root for witness. It's martyrian for witness in Greek. So while the word martyr, as we know it in English, which means basically often to die for one's faith, or to be willing to die for one's faith, while that word specifically is not found at all in Scripture, there were many, many martyrs. And John the Baptist, because he was later beheaded by one of the Roman rulers, could be considered a martyr. But today we're going to talk about John as John, not just a voice, but a very specific voice with a very specific message. So I'm going to start by reading the first portions of John chapter 1. And the first five verses actually are sort of a prologue to what this gospel is about. In the beginning was the Word. Now this is Word with a capital W, often meaning Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is part of where we get our idea of the Trinity being God Creator, God, Jesus Christ the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit. They were all together at the beginning of the world. The Word was with God in the beginning, and everything came into being through the Word. And without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life. And the life was the light for all people. One of the reasons we have candles in churches, besides providing light, so in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance period, before electricity, people could see in church. That's one of the reasons they had candles. It was their light. But Jesus was more than that. What came into being through the Word was life, and that life was the light for all peoples. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish it. That's one of our passages we hear a lot at Christmas. Now we talk about John. The writer comes on to talk about this witness named John. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself, that is John, wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light. But the world did not recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people did not welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized them to become children of God. Think about that. When we call ourselves as Christians children of God, because we believe in Jesus. These children are born not from blood nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and has made his home among us. This is Jesus, the Messiah. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And now the writer goes on to tell us what John testified to. John testified about him, that is Jesus, crying out, "This is the one of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is greater than me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we all have received grace upon grace. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God the Creator known. And this is John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask John, 'Who are you?' John confessed. He didn't deny, but he confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him, 'Then who are you? Are you Elijah?'" Remember last week I talked about Elijah being taken up into heaven, probably alive, that's what we assume. And John said, "No, I'm not." The priests and the Levites said, "Are you the prophet?" And John said, "No." So then they asked, "Okay, just who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" And John replied, "I am a voice crying out in the wilderness, 'Make the Lord's path straight.' Just as the prophet Isaiah said." And we heard those words last week from Isaiah. So those, the priests and the Levites who had been sent by the Pharisees to question John, asked, "Why do you baptize if you're not the Christ? And you're not Elijah? And you're not the prophet?" And John answered, "I baptize with water. Someone greater stands among you whom you don't recognize." So when I read that one sentence right there, I thought, that means Jesus was there among the people listening to John discuss this testimony with the scribes and the Levites. "I baptize with water. Someone greater stands among you whom you do not recognize. He comes after me, but I'm not worthy to untie the sandals." This encounter took place across the Jordan in Bethany, where John was baptizing. And the story goes on with John's testimony. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God,'" another name for Jesus, "'who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one of whom I said, he who comes after me is really greater than me because he existed before me. Even I didn't recognize him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be made known to Israel. John testified more. I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it rested on him. Even I didn't recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize, in other words, God the Creator, the one who sent me to baptize with water and said to me, the one on whom you see the Spirit coming down and resting is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this one is the Son of God. I have seen and testified that this one is the Son of God. The words of the gospel. But it goes back even further than John. In fact, began in Isaiah, well, even farther back than Isaiah, this message that John had. We heard David read this passage from Isaiah, the Lord God's Spirit is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. This may have been Isaiah saying that and remembering the message that he was supposed to give to the returning Israelites who had been living in exile. But also, the Word of God has always been in Scripture. It's always heard from the very beginning when God spoke and the world came into being. But we also hear the Word of God, this message, this voice of God, through the stories of creation and floods and enslavement, through the wandering in the wilderness, through the judges and the kings, some good and some horrible, through the prophets, all the way to John. And I want to present this idea that none of these were simply a voice. None of these were a voice. They were a very special voice for the people and the time in which these stories were told, in which these stories were written down. So was John's. But then John pointed, and literally there's a painting, I think in a church in Netherlands, which has a picture of John the Baptist pointing at Jesus. Don't remember the artist at this point. Anyway, so these voices were more than just voices. And when Jesus came, Jesus also had a voice. He preached. But more than that, more than being the message, Jesus was the message. He didn't just speak of God's love. He was the message of God's love to God's people. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in the synagogue. And Jesus is an adult by this time. And he takes a scroll and he unrolls the scroll. They didn't have books like we do. Their Bible wasn't like this. Their Bibles were these huge scrolls. He unrolls the scroll and he begins to read. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And he looked at the crowd and he said, "Today, Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus fulfilled the ancient prophecy 2,000 years ago. But the world is still in need of hearing that proclamation. The proclamation of good news for the poor. The proclamation to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim release for the captives. And liberation for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor And for those of you that don't know, even for those of you that do know, the year of the Lord's favor is the year of Jubilee. And I think it was supposed to happen more or less every 50 years, where all debt was forgiven. Things that had been given as collateral for loans had to be given back to the original owners. That's the day of the Lord's favor. And Jesus also said to comfort all who mourn. So my question for all of us today is, are we the ones who are sent from God to testify? Can we witness to the light of Jesus in our world as John did? Can our very lives be that message as Jesus was? As Christians, our answer to that question has to be yes. Yes, we have been called by God to testify with our whole lives, with our words, with our actions, with our deeds. To testify that the God who created humanity loves all of humanity. We are not just simply a voice. We are, we must be, the voice sharing this message of love to the world. If we don't, then what's the point of celebrating Christmas? Amen.